I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter, therefore, went forth, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter, therefore, also came following him and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, who had first come to the tomb, entered then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. And so, as she wept, she stooped and looked in to the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Easter, I am the resurrection. This is take 6, but who's counting? Theologian Karl Barth said, "What brings people to worship, what brings us to worship, not just on Easter, but on any day, is this unspoken question that we all have, this question that clings to our hearts and our minds. Is it true? Is it true that God lives? Is it true that God gives us life? Is it true that something so extraordinary happened on that morning that we can only rebuild our lives on its foundation? Is it true?" I mean, that's always been the question, hasn't it? I mean, people did not know what to do with Jesus. When you read the stories John tells in his gospel, he says that the Jews were divided over him. Some would say he has a demon. The man is out of his mind. But at the same time, others would say, a person who has a demon doesn't speak like this, doesn't open the eyes of the blind. Jesus was walking through the temple one day, and a crowd of people gathered around him for some Q&A, and their question was, "Is it true? Are you the one? Are you him? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus says, "Yeah." And something like, "You know, me and the Father are one." And they didn't know what to do with that. Tried to arrest him. Some picked up stones and tried to kill him. Jesus' friend Lazarus died. Jesus didn't get there until 4 days after. And he says, roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb. And Lazarus's sister Martha says, Lord, that is a bad idea. There's already a stench. But Jesus shouts with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus does. And had to have been like some kind of zombie movie. He comes out of the tomb and he's still got the grave clothes on. And Jesus says, unbind him. Let him go. Now, imagine being there and witnessing that. So, of course, some people believed. Some people who saw it believed in him. God has spoken. It's true. Now, this is the crazy thing. There were some who were there who went straight away and told the religious leaders. They told the Pharisees and the chief priests. And you know what they did? They called a meeting of the council. And their agenda was this one question: what are we going to do with this man? Because people were believing that they had found the answer to their question. People were believing that it's true. They didn't know what to do. And so, from that day, they began planning Jesus' death. I mean, can you imagine that? Probably. We're not so sure what to do either. We're not so sure ourselves what to do with Jesus. I was mending a barbed wire fence on my grandfather's farm. He said to me, if you think you've got the truth, live it. He said, life will not support error. Maybe the reason we keep coming back is because we're like Mary on Easter morning. We long to be known by God. And we don't need, you know, some general theological or religious statement about God's love. We just need it. The Good Shepherd calls Mary by her name. And she recognizes his voice. And it changes everything. A New Testament scholar, N.T. Wright, says, resurrection isn't just a doctrine. It isn't just a future fact. It's a person. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Tony Campolo was on the short flight from Denver to Colorado Springs. And while he was waiting to board the plane, there was no escaping this noisy little girl. She was really happy, bouncing around, clapping her hands, chanting joyfully, I'm gonna go see Daddy. I'm gonna go see Daddy. She sang that one line over and over again in a very obnoxious way. And at first, you know, he's smiling and trying to be nice. She's in her fluffy dress and patent leather shoes, and she has her pigtails, but it became more and more difficult to smile about it, the more and more that she continued to sing her little song and to jump up and down and to clap her hands and letting everybody in the place know the good news that she was going to see her father. About 10 minutes in, what was cute was now very irritating and very obnoxious. And so, oh, the joy when it was time to board the plane. Well, you know about Murphy's Law. So, you know who had the seat right across the aisle from him. The flight was short. And so all they were serving was cookies and Coca-Cola. Every time the flight attendant would pass by this little girl, another cookie, another Coca-Cola, another cookie, another Coca-Cola. He was blown away, and how many cookies and how many Coca-Colas one little girl could consume. Well, as the plane approached the airport in Colorado Springs, they had to fly through a thunderstorm, and so the ride was very rough and very bouncy. It wasn't long before there was an eruption, and what came out was the worst smelling vomit imaginable. It was all over the little girl. It was all over her mother. And what was worse is that it came in waves. Just as soon as Tony Campolo thought it was over, here came another eruption, and then another. When the airplane finally touched down, he couldn't wait to get down the aisle and to get away from that whole smelly mess. So he's walking down the connecting corridor from the plane to the airport. And as he gets into the airport, he sees him, this man standing at the end of the walkway, dressed in this nice white flannel suit, holding a bouquet of flowers. Well, he knew who this guy was. So he decided he wanted to wait in the distance. He wanted to see the encounter between this elegantly dressed father and little vomit face. Well, what happened took his breath away. There she came running. And he got down on one knee and swept her into his arms, and she was completely covered in this nasty smelling vomit. But it didn't make any difference to him. He had his little girl. And that's all that mattered. Larry Reeves loaned me a book by Grady Nutt. And in chapter 4, at first, he is telling this poem to Cinderella. Days later, a buzz in the hall upstairs, the prince, slipper in hand, at the door, searching the land for the beautiful lady who had won his heart. Yours fluttered as he fruitlessly tried the slipper on the sisters, glad in your heart that its mini size would not fit their maxi feet. No one else here except the scrub girl, said the evil stepmother, sisters seconding the motion. May I see her? Asked the prince. Grady Nutt says, I like him, his great faith in the unlikely. Not blinded nor hindered by rags, mop water, sweat, or bare feet, he kneels to try the shoe on your foot, the shoe on your foot, your soul on wings, your stepmother in a faint. And now, as princess at his side, you know the meaning of love like so few. And then he writes, you, Cinderella, reading this page right now. How's your cellar? Dark, damp, lonely? Ever feel that the whole world is going to the ball while you stay at home in rags to mop the cellar? Ponder this one. Was Cinderella a princess in rags or a scrub girl who became a princess? And then he says, this is where the gospel according to Cinderella gets to be good news. She was a princess in rags, with all the possibility, just waiting to be set free. Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians, you have died, and now you have been raised with Christ. You have died, and now you have been raised with Christ. Well, I remember that day, the day that I died, the day that I was raised with Christ. There was a chase, kind of like the start of a good James Bond movie, really. The hound of heaven was after me, and the hound of heaven chased me all over the campus. I didn't know what to do until I ended up in worship. I quit running. I surrendered. And that's when I knew that everything my parents had ever taught me, it's true. Everything that the church had taught me, it's true. God called my name, and it altered the course of my life forever. It still does. Now, this is the thing. When you've been raised with Christ, you leave the grave clothes behind. In that same letter, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, he says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. Now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self." We don't wear the same rags anymore. He goes on to say that as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. What happened that was so extraordinary on that morning? God spoke. God spoke to the principalities and the powers of darkness. God spoke to the powers of church and state. God spoke to the powers of sin and death. And to Mary, Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. Don't hold on to me." Resurrection is not resuscitation. We are not going back to the way things were before. It's a new day. So, Mary goes back to the disciples where they're gathered. And she says, "I have seen the Lord." It's true. And he called me by name. Hallelujah.